This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boy, if the Eagles can come up with their one turnover of the game right here, that would be ceiling. Brady back again. He steps up, he's hit, and falls forward.
He
fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. It is recovered by... Now it is unrecovered by Barnett.
Barnett.
Brady fumbles, and Barnett has the ball.
They finally hit Brady.
Ah, there it is. The play that defined Brandon Graham's career. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show on BG Day here. 5-5. Some call it Cinco de Mayo here on the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up in just minutes, we'll talk to LeSean Shady McCoy. At 1 o'clock, Brian Dawk. It's your calls throughout here. Of course, our Twitter question today, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Well, we're talking about all day. Why do you love BG? Tell us why you love BG on BG Day. Don't forget, afternoon show today is going to be at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville doing their show leading into BG Live tonight at the Colonial Theater. We're going to be hanging out. We'll go say hi to those guys as they do their show today on a special day here in Philadelphia as we honor Brandon Graham for what a career it was. 15 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. And some of those years, of course, spent with another young player at the time who came in a year before Brandon Graham. He was a running back. His name is LeSean McCoy. You know him now as part of the facility on FS1. He's kind enough to give us a few minutes today to talk about his former teammate, Brandon Graham. LeSean, how you doing today, man?
LeSean.
Oh, what's up, guys? I had to call in my guy, Brandon Graham, good friend of mine. So how y'all doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I'm curious, man, because what do you remember about Brandon in them early Chip Kelly years?
I remember this. I remember that when he first got there, we was booing because we wanted to get what's the
you talking about name? Earl?
Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas. Stop it! No, no.
But BG, man, I tell you what, he's a great friend, man, great teammate. I don't know if you never got a chance to play with him. To any viewers out there, man, he was an ultimate teammate. Never had a bad day, man. Always kept the competitive nature great in the locker room and on the field. Tremendous career. I'm not surprised, man. Worked extremely hard. You know, and always had a chip on his shoulder. And BG, one of my good friends, when I see him, I always tell him, you're going to be great on TV because you're real. You're authentic. You got that personality people love. And you're an Eagle for life. So that's BG for you.
Well, Sean, we had BG on for the first half hour of our show today, and he was joking about those early training camp days. Because, you know, you guys, you were like the last ones that had real training camp. They don't have that anymore. I mean, we're talking about Lehigh. We're talking about multiple practices a day. What was it like when you and him, both young guys, you know, 09, 10, when he first got here, back when they used to do real training camp, the ones that Hugh participated in? They don't do those anymore.
Real training camp.
Andy Reid, man. Oh, my God. He's a killer, you know? But it was always good, though, because like I said before, you know, you got guys in the locker room like myself, like Brandon Graham, you know, when it's the hard days and everybody's tired and irritated and sore, you need guys to bring everybody alive. And that's who BG was. He would make everybody laugh and joke. Even when you're tired and upset and pissed off, he would find ways to make everybody enjoy playing football. And then when you make a game so physical like football fun, that's when you get the best results. And that's what BG was as a teammate. And that's why he's probably one of the most favorite Eagles because of what he did on the field, but also what he did off the field.
LeSean, how long into Brandon's career did you know he was going to figure it out? Because he had, you know, it wasn't easy for him in the beginning.
He had a rough couple seasons.
Yep, he had some injuries, rough couple seasons. It took him some time. But did you see signs early on that he was going to be a really good player?
No, not at first. Not at first. I think about his second year. I said, oh, okay, all right, here we go. Because he's short, right? And he ain't like some guy, like even myself, like you look at me, you like, this kid can't really play. He's small, you know, got a little boy body, ain't real big. You look at BG, he's shorter. And then once he got going, he got a motor about him. And I remember our second year in camp, he'd start putting a lot of them tackles on their asses, right? Running through them, you know, getting sacks, causing chaos in practice. And that's when I knew BG was going to be special, right? And the last thing is he's not only just super strong, he's smart, man. And everybody don't always bring it. We just watched a playoff series with the Clippers. A guy like James Harden, who's so great, he had 7 points because he doesn't bring it, right? BG is different. He's going to bring it every practice, every game, right? If it's the Giants or Cowboys Monday night, or if it's the Jacksonville Jaguars who's not winning, he's going to bring it. And that's why I know that he was going to be a great player, man, and real impactful for our team.
What does it say to you when I say BG played 15 years all in one uniform, like for one team? What does that say when you hear that to you?
I think of a special individual. You know, you look at like all the great players, some had great stats or play with the team forever. And you think about, you need more than just being a good player. You got to be a great person, not only just on the team, but in the front office and in the community. And that's what BG was. I look at one of my best friends, Aaron Donald and Larry Fitzgerald. Those are all Pitt guys. I went to Pitt. And they played on all the same teams, not just because they were a great player, but they were great to the community, great to the team, great to the fans, right? You got to have all of them things to be on the same, you know, team for 15 years. I'm not talking about 6 years, 5 years, 15 long years, right? Good and bad. He was there when we were losing games, winning Super Bowls, losing Super Bowls. He was there for all of it. And for you to be there for the same team, right, for your whole career, it shows you what type of special individual you have to be to conquer that.
LeSean, what was it like to play against him? I'm trying to think back. I think you played against Brandon Rutherford.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, the first year you were gone, right? You came back here with Buffalo and you played the Eagles. Brandon was on, well, obviously against you. Did he trash talk you?
Yeah, oh, he don't never stop talking. I mean, God. Down 30, up 30, he's going to talk trash the whole game. He makes it fun. I remember we played them and I got the ball to the left and I cut back, right? Because you know I like to cut back. And I made like a jump cut, and I shook him, right? I made him miss, and I slipped. And then somebody tackled me, and I remember he was like talking trash, yelling. And then he got close to me, saying, "Damn, boy, you almost got me." So now BG was fun to play against, play. He was fun to play with. He was a special though, you know. And I see his career and how it unfolded, man. I'm happy how everything unfolded for him. You know, getting hurt this last season. And find a way to play and then win a championship and run off on the sunset. That's a storybook ending right there,
yeah,
man.
No question about that. For real.
LeSean, what was it like for you? I know you were still in the league at that point, still an active player. What was it like for you when you watched Brandon make that play to help the Eagles win the Super Bowl in 2017? I'm sure he probably had mixed emotions as, you know, being a guy that was here, but you a lot of your teammates, including Brandon, was on the side of that thing. What was it like for you to watch him have that moment?
That's the weird thing. Like, when you're a real Eagle, man, you love your teammates. I remember times where I was cheering for them dudes, man, and hoping he would do well. Super Bowl, they played against Tom Brady. I'm cheering for the Eagles. And when Brandon Graham made that sack, I was so excited because, you know, if you can't do it, you want your boys to do it. And I know how much that Brandon puts into his work and his craft. And to see that, man, Michigan, going against Michigan on that big stage, making that type of sack, that's what makes legends, right? And that's why we're having this conversation today about Brandon Graham, because plays like that. So I was always happy for him, even watching him, you know, even playing with him. Like, this is some guys you really care about. You know, Fletcher Cox, he's another guy. I can name a million of them dudes I played with that I had genuine love for, and he's one of them for sure. So I always rooted good for Brandon Graham. And another thing is, like, you know, sometimes you play with players, man, they're good players, and that's just it. Like, after you take a shower and you leave the locker room, you probably won't talk to them. And he's not that. Brandon's type of dude I'm always talking to. He had a great family, great kids, great wife. He's an all-around good person. And you always want to align yourself with people like that.
There's no question. He was. And if it felt like every locker room he was in, every team he was on, he had a positive impact. LeSean, and, you know, we were talking to him earlier about it. It was choppy for him in the beginning, and he had to overcome that. It felt like he was able to channel the negativity and make it a positive. Not every player could do that, LeSean.
They can't. And he didn't start out very good. That's the truth. He wasn't like killing it like that. Oh my God, we got this bona fide first rounder. He had to really earn it and work for it. And some guys, there's two type of people I always say. There's guys that's like, hell yeah, things ain't going wrong, or they're not going right. Hell yeah, I'm gonna make it right. I'm gonna do whatever it takes. Extra film study, working harder, more weight room. And there's other guys that's like, oh damn, he wasn't them guys where things ain't going right. They're always pouting and making excuses. And that wasn't Brandon Graham. So everything that he's getting, man, he deserves it because he went through all the bad to get to the good.
Well, he did, and he had a great career. Over 200 games, two championships, played in three Super Bowls. LeSean, we appreciate you making a few minutes for us today. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be watching your show as we always do. And thank you for joining us on BG Day.
All good, fellas. Happy to talk to you all again, man.
Hey, have a good one,
man. There he goes. LeSean McCoy, Eagles great, joining us talking about his teammate. And, you know, Hugh, they did come up into similar times, right? McCoy was 09, mm-hmm. and then Brandon was 10. So they were right at the end of the Reed era, and then they both got, you asked about the chip thing. They had to overcome that.
Yeah, that was crazy. Just to hear them talk about, like, Deshaun, LeSean, and all those guys talk about Chip. Chip was a piece of work, man.
Well, it's interesting the story that Runria brought up, that obviously that offseason, Chip got rid of Deshaun, and he got rid of LeSean. And then, according to the story Rhea was telling, that they were going to get rid of Brandon, too, until Jeff stepped in and was like, that's enough. Yeah, we're getting rid of too many good players and not getting much back for anything here. I mean,
What you got? Cato June? Was that the linebacker?
No. It was Cato
from
June.
From Miami, right?
It was...
Some weird name.
What was the name of the Kiko Alonso?
Kiko Alonso, yeah.
He made the interception.
Cato June.
I was thinking Kiko, but it came out Cato.
It was Cato June.
No, Cato June was a linebacker, too. He's in the right position.
Cato
June played in a different time.
Yeah. He played during my era, didn't he?
I think he was more, if I remember Cato June correctly, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah, like your time. Yeah, you went in a time machine there, Hugh.
You show your age so much.
Dude. I knew
at least
it was,
in the right position. It wasn't like it was a running back.
Hey man, this is what you get when you get in your twilight. That's what happens.
I'm gonna give you a pass on this one. Cato, Kiko.
Kiko is about the same.
Kiko had that sick one-handed interception.
Week one in Atlanta.
Week one, yep.
And that was the last play he made as an Eagle.
Everybody thought that was a good trade.
If I remember correctly, Cato June and Kiko Alonso looked nothing like each other.
I just thought the name. The name was the one that got me.
Cato was a Colt?
I think so.
I think he was. He actually might be a coach now, or he was at some point. All right, 215-592-9494. We appreciate Shady giving us a few minutes. All right, coming up at 1, we will talk
to... They definitely don't look
they're the... I mean, whatever you want to say, they're opposites. One looks that way, one looks that way. There's a spectrum of the way they look, Hugh. They're on totally different sides.
Not your best work.
Yeah, no, it's not. Again, I'm going to give Hugh a little pass on this. But
I don't think I will.
Oh, is that surprising?
Well, Cato and Kiko sound similar.
Do I put up a poll? Does Hugh get a pass for mixing up Cato June and Kiko Alonso?
You know what? Don't even waste the characters. I already know what
just put up the two photos. Do these two people remind you of each other? Kiko Alonso, Cato June.
No, see, because when you do that and you don't have any context, people go like, what's wrong with it?
But there's no context on the internet. You know that. Just dumb things that we say.
We don't do context.
No.
This is true.
Context. I mean, Kyle's playing us both with bad voice moments here. I mean, every cut we have of you is out of context. He's a good player. 17.5 sacks last year.
I like Trey.
Damn, excuse me. Sign Ranger to a long-term deal.
No, he's not worth that long-term deal.
We screwed up.
Yeah, that does not make us look good. All right, coming up at 1, we have Brian Dawkins. Your phone calls right now. Let's go to Rob in Delco. Talking about why he loves BG. What's up, Rob? Rob going once. Rob going twice.
Tough, Rob.
It's a bad look for Rob.
Bad look.
Rob's usually better than this.
Hey, man, all I know is this Eagles autism challenge, I got to beat you.
You still behind me?
Yeah, I'm still behind. Oh. So I need y'all. I just tweeted it. I gotta be y'all. Help me. I gotta be.
Now you're pandering to the audience.
Yeah, because Rob, we had to fill some time because Rob's not prepared.
Okay.
So I'm just saying.
As much as Hugh wants to beat me, I want to help him because this is for a great.
Yeah, the Eagles. It's for a great cause. Eagles Autism Challenge. So I just retweeted it.
Yeah.
So if you could just, you know, if y'all could just help
or you could just go to my page and donate to me, so I'd be Hugh. So this has now become personal.
No, I'm just saying, because, I mean, I just need a win today.
Okay,
I just took an L because it's Cinco de Mayo, which I thought was yesterday.
Well, it's still going to be a great day. We get to go to the Great American Pub today.
Yeah, we do that.
It's going
to
be a W.
This Eagles Autism Challenge, I just need to be Joe.
All right, Eagles Autism Challenge is coming up on May 17th.
No, you still have Rob up, right?
Rob, you there?
Oh, he ain't say nothing.
Oh, I'm just waiting for him to talk, and that's
we
fine.
We just wait for him to talk.
Yeah, he could just
That's why
out.
I just preemptive striked and, you know, help me out. I need some help.
Hugh tweeted out the link to his donation page. I'll tweet out mine, too. I didn't realize we were in a competition. This was a silent competition until Hugh brought it to the air.
Yeah,
but donate to either one of our pages because it's obviously for a great cause. Rob, I'm giving you one more chance. One, two. All right, Rob goes back on hold. Kev in South Philly. BG.
Hey,
what's up, Kev?
What's up,
what's
Kev?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Kev.
There's so many great things we could talk about with BG, right? Now, the one thing I think so awesome is, you know, we talk about the strip sack. One year, I was saying this to Kyle. I forget what year it was, but Derek Gunn kept counting Eagles out. And after every single game, he would walk back to the locker room, Gunn standing there with the microphone. He turns the corner, Gunn, screaming at him, laughing the whole time. He's like, oh, you counted us out. Like, every single game, it was hysterical. I loved every second of it.
You know, I remember it, too. Part of me thinks it was 2021 when they started off really bad with a Sirianni, and then they made the playoffs. I think, Kevin, that might have been the year, or maybe 2019 when they struck. But they had a few of those years, Kev, where they, you know, they got off to rocky starts, 3-6 or 4-6, and then they rallied to make the playoffs. I remember that. That was great. It was like, it was almost like I told you so. You doubted us too fast. Those were always fun to watch.
Now, on top of that, like, you know, we were talking about, you know, how great a story is of Brandon Graham. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Jeffrey Lurie, like, a movie producer?
Yes.
Why don't they try to put a work in to make some kind of Brandon Graham movie and all that? And then with that, start selling the what would BG do bracelets. They would make a killing.
They probably got that in the works.
You know what? I'd watch
probably
it.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a good idea. I mean, it really is an inspiration for the next wave of athletes in the city. Like,
just keep believing in yourself, keep grinding, keep a positive attitude. I mean, that's what I try to tell my kids, man. It's hard. It's always hard. I mean, we're always getting kicked, but you keep watching him, you're like, hey, what would Brandon Graham do here? Yeah.
And he really is the opposite of some guys we've seen. Ben Simmons came up a few minutes ago with a caller. But like,
he's a pansy.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's the worst. But
strong.
But the idea is like a guy that has a bunch of talent and underachieves. Meanwhile, Brandon Graham, who's talented, obviously, was a first-round pick. And Kev, we appreciate the call. But Brandon Graham got the most, Hugh, out of what he had. Like, he got there's a lot of words you could use to describe players and athletes. He achieved, or you might say overachieved, but Brandon Graham at least achieved everything he had in his body. And then you have people like Ben Simmons, who's underachieved his whole career.
Yeah, and you know, you talking about a guy that worked hard, man, and was always positive. And it's something to be said about that, especially when you talk about some of the seasons that he's had where he could have taken a negative spin and got better, but he never did that. He never once did.
So he had less petty than you would have had?
Yeah, way less
petty.
Well,
that's why attitude, A is for attitude in his book. Have you read the book yet?
Yeah, I've skimmed through
it. A is for attitude. Attitude changes everything. C is for confidence, you. Just make
sure.
Well,
I got confidence, but I got attitude, but it's more of a negative attitude.
A lot of this can apply to you. I is for imagination, which hear about in the Daily Douglas.
I got a vivid imagination.
Yeah, you do.
E for excuse making.
Yeah, I don't make excuses.
We're going to help you write your book.
E is for event planning.
No, it's for excuse making. If there's an ABCs of Hugh Douglas, E is for excuse making.
Yep.
I don't make excuses.
P is for petty.
What'd you say? Alternate facts.
S is for spin.
Spin?
Yep.
I do like the S in Brandon's book. Have you seen it? It's S is for swagger.
Swagger.
He's got a little swagger in that one. Yeah, swagger is built.
Dressed up?
He's dressed up in that one with his glasses. Yep. T is for team. Just making sure you know
I'm a team
all these.
Guy.
You are, you know, you're
I'm
a team.
T for Hugh is for tongue tied for sure.
But
a little
bit of that. We're gonna work on my book. I would just need to figure out the age appropriation for it.
Yeah, I would say not 5 and 6 and 7 year olds.
I got an A for you too, actually.
This and the ambiguity.
Ambiguity. Yeah, I'll take that one.
I'm telling you, this book would sell.
So T is for tomato cans or canada pants.
Well, you could do one. Tans. You could do a T for tomato cans, and then C for canada tans. Yeah.
That'd be a nice book. This might be a children's book.
Now, this book is going to help change lives. Your book would sell. I don't know how many lives your book is changing, but it would certainly sell. Mike in Downingtown. What's up, Mike?
Hey guys,
Mike. What's going on?
Hey, I'm trying to eat lunch, guys.
Oh,
you call us.
You know what, Mike?
Well,
that's on me.
I'm
sorry.
Joe, why would you go to Mike when he's eating lunch?
Next time,
how
I will wait until after lunch to go to each caller who calls during lunchtime.
Hey, you guys already touched on it. For me, what I remember, I can still remember to this day with watching Brandon Graham being a number one pick. He's a defensive guy. It's a little harder to show yourself, you know, in the media when you're on the defensive side, but man, you could just see a spark in his game, the way he played. And, you know, you heard the early doubts he wasn't big enough. But, man, you could just see the spark, the motor he had. And you just said, this is going to be a Philadelphia guy. And week in, week out, you could tell he was blocking out the media. And, you know, he just grew on people. And that's why he's the favorite that he is today.
Well, he is. You know, and he brought it every week. I mean, you know, every game you felt like you were getting max effort out of Brandon Graham.
Oh, man, what a motor. And then to cap it off with the strip sack, you know, you can't write that stuff, you know? Not in Philadelphia. You just can't write it.
I mean, it is a storybook ending. And then Mike, this year, I mean, to be a big part of a defense that was the best in the NFL in his 15th year of his career, I mean, it's remarkable.
Yeah, and then he breaks the career record for games, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's going to get out of history as one of the great defenders for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, there's no question. He's awesome.
And a sense of humor. The guy's a riot. His trash talking, he's just an absolute riot.
I know. That's the fun part is, Mike, good phone call, Hugh, because he is such a – he's a nice guy, but he also has that –
trash talker.
Trash talker, yeah.
Yeah, he kept it clean. I mean, he kept it real clean. That's what I admired about him, is that he was able to keep his trash talk to the ones that we heard.
Yeah.
It wasn't a whole lot of colorful language.
Yep.
It was ones that, you know, like Rhea said earlier, you could probably play an hour of him trash talking.
It's actually a really good idea for NFL films.
Yeah.
I would watch that. If you tell me, like, at 9 o'clock one night, the Brandon Graham trash talk hour is on, I'm in. I'm watching it. And we all know your trash talking story. Who'd you try to trash talk?
Jumbo? B-Hop. Hopkins.
Hopkins from the Titans?
Brad Hopkins.
Brad Hopkins. Yeah. How'd that work out?
not in my favor. But I used to do it all the time. But see, you couldn't.
Willie Rofe, too.
Yeah, Willie teabagged.
I called him a mean and hurtful name, though. I worked the blue.
Did you think to pick your spots? Like, maybe I shouldn't trash talk Willie Rofe?
No, after the
maybe
Brad
pick
Hopkins.
On, yeah, maybe pick on a tackle. It's not that good.
After that one, yeah I kind of started. But no, I would talk a trash to anybody.
Yeah.
And I didn't care.
Willie Rofe.
He did me bad. But hey, listen, I told him I ain't no punk. You ain't gonna take my Fruit Loops.
And then what'd he do?
I took the Fruit Loops, man.
Man, yeah. They cleaned my clock. Oh my gosh.
You know,
that did set on my chest. That was the worst part about it. There wasn't nothing I could do about it. You know what? You're gonna make me find Willie Rofe and swing on it. Like, I remember what you did to me. It was embarrassing.
It still hurts all these years later.
It's embarrassing.
You know how Rhea had the idea for the 1 hour of Brandon Graham trash talking? Would you watch 1 hour, Kyle, of Hugh Douglas getting beat up by tackles?
1 hour?
now, in my defense, I ain't get beat up a lot.
No, but that's so that, it, right.
It'd be more like, it'd be more like 15 minutes.
Well,
it won't be,
I don't know.
Hey, we ain't going to talk about that last year in Jacksonville. That might be
50 minutes of the 1 hour. By the way, who was it? Who had the thing? It was a Trent? Or Trent had – Trent – You know, that hands on the hips thing, you did that your whole career. Did you pick up on that, Kyle? Trent brought up to us, Trent Cole.
Oh, no, he talking about, but this day was a little different.
You had your hand on your hips because you were cooked.
Oh, yeah, I was done.
But if you watch the Bye Bye Barry documentary, when Barry runs past you, you have the hands on your hips.
Because it's like I'm thinking at that point. So I just stopped and said, well, ain't too much I can do about that.
He
about 30, 40 yards in front of me.
If we find an old scouting report on Hugh Douglas, they're going to be like, wow, high motor, good player, gets a lot of sacks. But when things go bad, hands on his hips, he gives up. It's the calling card.
No, it's more like, let's assess this situation here. How much energy are we going to disperse trying to catch Barry?
Yeah, nah, well, you
weren't
catching.
That's a lost cause. I mean, like seriously, who's catching Barry from behind?
I saw some teammates chasing.
They did, but because they were in the frame and they just had to keep it. They just had to make it look good.
Also, you didn't realize 25 years later there'd be a documentary.
I did not, but I was like, damn.
With that clip.
You don't realize like how you try to frame it for people. Barry was the absolute quickest and fat. Like, normally you're one or the other. You're either quick or you're fast.
He's both.
He was quick and fast. And when he changed direction, man, It was a sight to behold. I played in an era where my first couple years in the NFL, I was a spectator. I had the best seat in the house. Dan Marino, best seat in the house. To watch him work and just run that offense.
Weren't
that
you
he
supposed
ran.
To be hitting him?
I was supposed to be.
okay.
Bruce Smith, watch him work. Man, who else? Bryce Pop, I could throw him in there. Who else is in our division? Curtis Martin, Willie McGinnis.
Sure.
I got Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law. Like, you watch some cats. I played in a division where it was some dogs in that division.
Sure.
Marshall Faulk. man, it was crazy. Crazy time.
215-592-9494. Your phone calls, and joining us next, Brian Dawkins to weigh in on the great career of Brandon Graham. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.